So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and I'm the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Okay, so we got Blind Joe with us, singer-songwriter extraordinaire from Fargo, North Dakota. Went to The Voice on NBC. I was on Team Blake. First of all, who's Team Blake? Who's this Blake guy?
Blake, I don't know. He's just some random dude. They thought he was cool. They put him on TV. I'm not really sure. It's not like he sold millions of records and has billions of fans all across the world or anything. Shelton is his last name, I think.
Yeah. He's kind of a big deal in country music.
Yeah, maybe a little.
Explain to me your experience.
I hear
experience.
He drinks too much, though.
You ever watch his Twitter feed?
I heard you know he drinks too much. I'm just kidding. No, did you get to tell me about The Voice? What's going on there?
Oh, dude, it was great. We had a blast. You know, I can't believe it's already been a year since we've been on the show, but it was so much fun. Blake was such a cool guy, and he and I have that kind of perverse sense of humor. So we did our fair share of joking around, and everybody was so cool and so nice to us. And what I really enjoy about that show is that they really do want you to succeed, and they make it a really great. It's not about like the drama. You know, a lot of those reality shows, you see a lot of the drama and the stuff that really doesn't have anything to do with the show. But it's obviously it gets ratings, so they put it in. The Voice is not like that. They really do want people to succeed, and they want you to have fun, and we really did. It was nerve-wracking, but it was a heck of a lot of fun.
So, at the end of the day, it's obviously some great exposure for you.
Absolutely.
Do you make any money out of the deal?
Yeah. You know, now, yes. It's nice. You know, there was a good... I started doing this professionally when I was probably 19 or 20, and I'm 34 now. And, you know, up until The Voice... times were tight, man. They always have.
Oh, I remember.
You know, and yeah. I mean, you saw my my shows playing to three people, and
I was one of the three.
Right? Yes. So yeah, it's definitely. I've definitely moved up a tax bracket, and it's great. And I think as long as I keep working it as hard as I am, and you know, rolling around the country just playing shows. I mean, as long as I can pull down, you know, enough money so that my wife and I. Have a roof over our head and food in our stomach, man. That's what it's all about. And I'm very fortunate, man. I'm fortunate that there are fans of country music out there that love what I'm doing enough to be able to allow me to make enough money to support my family, man. I'm really blessed.
Country music singer-songwriter Blind Joe. Oftentimes in the music industry or the media or pretty much anything that has to do with entertainment. And sports, too, for that matter, because sports is entertainment. Yeah. It's a feast or famine industry.
Yeah.
And listen, Joe, you and I had nights at the Nasty Nester and things like that where you and I both lived the feast or the famine days.
Yes.
Now, definitely. Does The Voice, it doesn't put you into the feast mode, I don't think.
No.
But it gives you an opportunity not to famine anymore.
What The Voice does is, yes, you're absolutely right when you say that. I love that analogy. What it does is it just like you said, gives you the opportunity to say, hey, okay, I can work with this, but you have to push it. You can't just get on The Voice and then, it's not like you get on the show and then all of a sudden, oh, you're on The Voice, so you're going to be famous the rest of your life, period. You know, if you don't work it and you don't know the business and you don't really buckle down and do what you need to do to make sure that people, that you're in people's faces and that people know who you are, they're gonna forget. I mean, we live in a very, you know, fast-paced society today where if you're not constantly putting yourself out there, people will forget about you in a second, especially with, you know, streaming media, streaming music, and all that stuff. I mean, not a lot of people are buying albums anymore. Nobody sits down and listens to a record. It's song by song nowadays. So
that's interesting because, you know, I interviewed Matthew Nelson of the Nelson Twins.
Yeah.
Matthew and Gunnar Nelson.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about the paradigm shift that happened in music about mm-hmm. when social media and the internet came out, because people were bootlegging music. So
yes.
The old traditional ways of, okay, how many record or how many radio plays do you get and how many records do you sell, that went away.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
the song became a commercial
yes.
for your live events and your music.
Yeah.
Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely.
So describe that to where nowadays, you have to make your money at the live events, don't you?
That's it. It's really all about touring, keeping on the road, and growing that fan base organically, and merchandise sales. You know, people will buy a CD, and majority of the time they'll take it home, they'll put it on their computer, slap it on their phone, and that'll be it. They'll never use the CD again. But that's the way that you have to grow the fan base, is just selling that merchandise and having them tell people. And now with social media, it's cool because they can get on Facebook and Twitter and tell all their friends, hey man, I saw this dude last night, he rocked it, I bought a CD, you got to check it out. So as far as record sales and the record industry, social media has been they kind of don't know what to do. They're kind of slowly adapting to this new model. But as far as independent musicians like me and a lot of other people that are touring, social media can work to our advantage. But you are definitely right when you say that's how you make money, is with the touring and with the live shows and with the merchandise and stuff like that.
You know, you certainly got to be creative, because, you know, the nice thing about what you're doing is Blind Joe, you're a brand now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
you can have canes one day, no offense.
Yeah, no, and then we're looking into that, actually, like keychains that are like canes, you know,
key canes,
that's what I want to call them. And so I'm looking into that right now. You know, we've got wristbands, we've got t-shirts, we've got, of course, the CDs, we got the new Christmas record out. You know, you want to have anything that you can have, any little thing that's just going to get you to that next town, to that next show, and make, you know, so you're fed and you got a place to stay, man. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, and it's fun.
You've changed your music, too.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the Christmas CD, and I remember one of your first Christmas CDs, which we're not going to play on the air.
No. And look, man, look, you know.
That was in your younger days.
Right, and here's the thing. I still love that stuff, and I love. I've always been a fan of dirty comedy and dirty music and stuff like that. When I was a kid, you know, one of my favorite bands was Guns N' Roses, you know, and they were the first band I'd ever heard in my life cuss, like big time cuss, like F-bomb cuss. And I thought it was so cool, you know. I mean, I was a kid, you know. And so I love that kind of humor, and the music has changed in that I don't put a lot of that cussing and that kind of stuff into it anymore, but I still love it, and I don't regret those songs. I love those songs. Some of those songs I've even kind of rewritten. You know, we've got Soul Singing Son of a Gun on the latest record, By the Fans, For the Fans, and of course, you know, that used to be Soul Singing Son of a Something Else. And it's just, I still love that stuff, but... the bottom line is, not only is this music something I love to play, but it's also a business. And there are just some people that are just, you know, people that watch a show like The Voice are not the people that are going to buy an album entitled Whiskey, Wine, Beer, Pot, Pills, and Cocaine. Period. You know.
Okay, so I got to ask you.
Yeah.
The Joe that I knew, the Blind Joe that I knew and I used to watch,
yes,
was a very old school country music.
Yeah,
you actually lived the life that you wrote about.
I did
for the most part.
And I still
okay?
do. I still do. And I just drink a little less now. I'm getting a little too old for the.
Are you drinking at all anymore?
You know, I do from time to time.
Okay, so last time we spoke, you weren't drinking at all.
Yeah, and I do very 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 little do I drink. I mean, if it's something, you know, where I'm getting together with a buddy I haven't seen in a long time or whatever, I might have a beer or a couple of whiskeys or something like that.
I think I've had a bottle of wine in the last year and a half,
yeah.
Combined type of a thing, you know, like
yeah.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, and I used to be a very, very heavy drinker. I was a hardcore alcoholic and I went through treatment and all that stuff. So I've been on that side, and it's not a fun place to be, man. And so,
but
I still love a good honky-tonk song about whiskey and jukeboxes and the whole, because I love that stuff. Just because I don't drink... I think people have this thing, especially my the older school fans that of the more drinking songs that I did, or they, I think a lot of them think that I just like sat around all day and slammed down Jack Daniels and smoked cigarettes, which wasn't like far from the truth at the time.
But you were standing.
But yeah, right. I mean, I would go to the bathroom from time to time. But now, you know, you grow and you realize that that stuff, as fun as it can be, it doesn't fix anything. It doesn't solve anything. And at the end of it all, your problems or whatever you're trying to run from are still there, and you just have a huge ass headache on top of it.
So. Amen to that. But that was the behavior and the lifestyle of a lot of old school outlaw country
musicians.
Yeah, and
that's what I wanted to live.
How did you and Blake and some of these new guys even get along?
Oh,
that's
man.
What I'm wondering. I mean, because you represent the old soul country music people, like a Sturgill Simpson.
Here's, right
okay,
here. Oh, thank you.
Sturgill's
thank
modern. He's
yes,
like the only.
Yes.
Merle Haggard said Sturgill Simpson is the only modern old country music star.
Yes.
And I put you in that same boat.
Oh, thank
so how
man.
Did you get along with those guys?
You know, I get along with everybody. Because here's the thing, man. Here's what people don't realize. And I'm guilty of this too. I talk a lot of crap about today's country music. People like Florida Georgia Line and this stuff, I think it's garbage in my opinion.
I agree. I like
Merle and Johnny and Hank and whatever, but the bottom line is, man, people are people. And just because Luke Bryan's music now is not appealing to me doesn't mean Luke Bryan as a person is a complete D-bag either. I don't know if I can say that, but you know, so Blake and I, you know, he's trying to stay contemporary in a tough business, and I get it. I understand why he makes the music he makes, but he's an awesome dude. I mean, he's a really cool guy, and you know, we have, like I said in the beginning, we share a sense of humor, and he's just cool to shoot the crap with, and he knows full well what he's doing with the music, and you know, I guess at $28 million a season, he sleeps pretty damn well, and that doesn't really bother him too much, I imagine.
It's much easier to sleep on a giant pile of money at night, isn't it?
Right, right. Me personally, you know, I like it old school, and I'll always stick to the honky-tonk side of things and the rougher and rowdy side, because that's just who I am.
All right, so let's, you got to get on the road, I know that. You got to get out and get to another gig tonight. So how can people find you?
Oh, man, I'm everywhere on the internet. You can go to blindjoe.com, www.blindjoe.com, and that'll link you up to where you can check me out on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. You can also buy the new Christmas record that we have out, which has that dirty Christmas song that everybody keeps talking about, and I don't know if we should say any more than that here, but it's... Nah. Definitely something you can give it a listen.
I guarantee you, folks, you'll never have heard anything like it.
Yes, it's quite entertaining, I think. So we've got that. We've got the CD available. We've got physical CDs and digital albums. Everything's there at blindjoe.com. So you can just swing by there and check it out, or of course you know, come out to one of the shows and let's hang out, man. Let's have a rowdy, what did I used to call it? A rockin' rowdy rebel redneck romp? Something like that. I had a thing years ago. That was back in my drinking days when I thought I was funnier than I actually am.
It's one of those where you gotta get drunk again to remember
yeah, right,
what you said.
That holds us laughing. And here's to the sound of one hand clapping. And here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world. And here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.